Telefilm Canada, UK Film Council and Telefilm Canada present, in association with Baby Cow Productions, Alliance Atlantis, BBC Films and To Entertain, with the participation of the Canadian Television Fund.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. We will shortly be approaching Timmins Airport. Local time is 6:30. It's a beautiful spring morning and the temperature is approximately 7 degrees with occasional light snow flurries. I hope you have had a pleasant flight and will enjoy your stay here in Northern Ontario.
A Revolution Films Rhombus Media Production. A Mark Evans film. A middle-aged man with square glasses and an oval face sits by the window of an aeroplane. He sadly looks down at some passport photographs of a young man with long black hair. Alan Rickman, Sigourney Weaver, Carrie Ann Moss. The man looks up again, his expression remaining thoughtful and sad. Outside the window, soft white clouds reflect bright sunlight in the blue sky. Snow Cake. Trucks laden with tree trunks pass each other in a snow-covered timber yard. Once the powdered snow settles in their wake, it reveals a long, low building with another truck parked in front of it. Alex, the man from the plane, is sitting in a busy cafe with a scarf wrapped around his neck when a young woman comes in from the cold. She looks around, then heads towards him. A waitress.
Do you want coffee?
Yes. Thank you.
The young woman sits opposite him.
Do you mind if I sit here?
No.
Can I take your order?
Oh. Yes, please. I'll have a Coke, please.
Diet?
Yeah, I've tried. It's just the no eating part that I struggle with. I'm kidding. Oh, the Diet Coke, yes, thanks.
She looks up at Alex, who's concentrating on something on the table.
What you reading?
Wipe the slate, light the candle.
Is that a novel?
Well, it's fiction.
I've been thinking of writing one of those. You can make tons of money. All the gullible people out there searching for answers. I have the best title. The Bleeding Child Within. What do you think?
It's very good.
I don't know what particular area of human pain or misery I'm going to focus it on yet. I just like the title. Thanks. I want to waste it.
The waitress brings her drink, which he slurps through a straw.
You're English, right?
Look, you seem like a really chatty kind of person, and I don't want to be rude, but I'm not chatty, so perhaps you'd be better off sitting somewhere else.
Have you seen some of these people?
Well, there's a few empty tables around.
Do you want to know why I sat here? Because you look like a man who needs to talk. You look like a guy who hasn't talked in a really long time.
That's why you sat here?
That is why I sat here. And because I need a lift. And you were the cleanest option.
I'm sorry. Good luck.
He picks up his stuff and leaves. The young woman turns to watch him as he pays at the counter. Outside, Alex comes out and unlocks his car with a remote key. He opens the door, then rolls his eyes, shuts it again, and walks round to the driver's side. He sees the young woman standing at a junction with her hitching sign, being ignored by the heavy onslaught of timber trucks. Then he pulls up next to her, and she runs to open the door.
Change of heart?
No, I just tried to change gear. It's automatic.
Okay. Well, good luck.
She goes back to her spot, and Alex opens the window.
I'm driving to Winnipeg. You better get out when I've had enough.
Yes, absolutely, no problem.
She throws her bag in the back and gets in.
Bit of a drive, Winnipeg. I'm Vivian, by the way.
Alex. I have to tell you, I just got out of prison.
Oh. Fraud?
I killed someone.
Okay.
They pull away through the bland, colourless parking area towards the main road, another timber truck close behind them. In the car...
So, about this person you killed...
I don't want to talk about it. I only mentioned it because I wanted you to be aware that ordinary-looking people are often the ones you need to avoid.
Okay. Gotcha. Look out for the ordinary ones.
So you're feeling uneasy now?
Nope.
Sure?
Well, maybe a little... uneasy. I tend not to visit scared. My mom's scared of everything, and I've made a conscious decision not to go there.
If I hadn't been starving, I wouldn't have stopped at that diner. That's what I call frightening.
You can't be afraid of tattoos and bad teeth. It's part of their appeal. I don't really think they'd hurt anyone.
I was talking about the food.
He looks at her, smiling. Then they're driving along a quieter road, with snow on either side and trees all around.
You got kids?
Nope.
Really? At your age, no kids? Low sperm count?
More of a low partner count.
I know the feeling. Guys my age just don't like me. Mind you... You're quite an attractive-looking guy. What's your excuse?
I don't want to talk about it.
There's a surprise.
They cross a bridge over an iced-up river. Vivian's sleeping.
A lot of weather is going to be bad today. We've got variable conditions right across the listening area, and I'm not sure any of the weather is going to be entirely welcome. I guess the one consolation is, especially down in the southwest...
Traffic passes a fast food restaurant, the large white sun shining down from a clear blue sky. Alex and Vivian get takeaway.
So we're here, sharing a meal. You know, if I was a few years older, this would be a date.
Phew, you're very generous.
Mm-hmm. I know how the world works. I give a little something, you give a little something.
All right. Both my parents are dead and I have one brother.
That wasn't so hard.
He hates me.
Oh, then nothing, and then the floodgates open. Go, Alex. Go, Alex.
And we're completely different. He's handsome and very fit. Works at the stock exchange. He's what you might call a hotshot.
Hotshot? Well, you know what they say. Behind every successful man is a true astonished woman.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, that's what they say.
He's gay.
That's my point exactly.
Back on the road. With the sun low in the sky and partially obscured by gathering clouds, they drive through more desolate, snow-covered country, passing the occasional factory or outbuilding. Alex smiles kindly at Vivian, who leans back in her seat contentedly. They stop for petrol, and Alex waits in the car while the windscreen's cleaned. Then Vivian runs excitedly out of the shop with a carrier bag in her hand.
Oh, I did good.
A toy.
And look at these. Flashing balls that play music.
Just what she's always wanted.
I do not know my mother, Mr. Sarcastic. She's going to be beside herself when she sees these. I can't wait to see her face. Oh, I love this song.
They pull off and drive up to the junction that leads back onto the main road. As they wait, Alex turns to Vivian and smiles. Then his face drops as a truck looms up in the reflection of the passenger window. The car's rammed down the road and flips onto its back while the truck skids to a halt. The car lies on its roof against a snowdrift. Through the cracked window and a veil of swirling white smoke that becomes thicker, then fades again, Alex slowly stirs and begins to move. Dazed, he looks around, then pushes the door open. He manages to haul himself halfway out. Standing over the upturned car, Alex is struggling to get free when the truck driver sees him.
Oh, fuck, fuck.
Alex tumbles to the ground.
Are you okay? Are you okay? Just stay. Don't get up. Are you okay?
The police arrive.
Somebody's still in the car.
An ambulance pulls up in front of onlookers from the garage diner. Alex throws up, and one of the officers holds the truck driver back.
I'm sorry. Let's go.
Out of the car! Have to get out of there!
One of the ambulance crew looks in at Vivian and shakes her head. Alex sinks to his knees. The truck driver runs his hands over his head while the paramedics lead Alex to an ambulance. He sits down on the step, trying to speak, just a small amount of blood around his nose while they tend to him. Then he's standing in the police station in shock, his arms hanging by his side, eyes staring vacantly down at the floor.
Mr. Hughes?
I'm going to have to ask you to hang around for a while. A couple of days, tops, just till we get all the statements in. Procedure, you understand?
Clyde, that urgent stuff has just arrived. Do you want me to...
Oh, okay, Mal. Sorry, Mr. Hughes, I'm just going to have to, My officer managed to retrieve some of your things. We can get the rest to you once they've been released. Anyway, I'd appreciate if you'd just check there's nothing of Miss Freeman's in there, and I'll see you out front.
I'd like to speak to her mother.
I'm sorry?
Vivian's mother.
Well, it's always a difficult time for the family.
I realize that.
Well, with respect, sir, I don't think you do. If your daughter was killed in an accident, would you want to speak to the driver?
I didn't kill Vivian. The driver of the truck killed Vivian.
Yes, but it wouldn't be very professional of me to go giving out personal information, would it?
Clyde goes out, and Alex starts looking through a bag of belongings on the table. He finds the toys Vivian bought for her mother and looks at them thoughtfully. He goes over to a closed folder on the table, opens it, and looks at the top sheet, then heads out of the room with the toys. He passes an open door where Clyde and Merrill are eating pizza. Clyde looks up surprised, but he doesn't go after him. In the corridor, he walks straight past the truck driver, who stops and turns to watch Alex go. Now Alex is sitting on a bus, following another snow-covered road that winds its way through sparse woodland. It drops him off by the side of the road, beneath a deep golden sky. Alex looks around helplessly for a moment, then starts to walk. Nighttime, and a gritting truck drives along an urban street. Alex is on the pavement with his hands deep in his jacket pockets. He looks over at the house opposite as a woman is ushered out. The expelled guests lift her arms in a shrug and starts to walk away, glancing back at the door one more time. Alex watches, still carrying the bag of toys, then slowly and falteringly makes his way up to the front door.
I'd like to talk to Mrs. Freeman.
Why?
Mrs. Freeman? May I come in?
A woman with tied back brown hair opens the door.
Do I know you?
No. My name is Alex Hughes. I just wanted to talk to you for a couple of minutes.
About what? I'm very busy and I don't do social.
The police have been, haven't they?
Yes, the police were here 2 hours and 20 minutes ago.
So you know what's happened?
Yes, I know Vivian is dead. Is that it?
But I just wanted to explain that I gave your daughter a lift. It was an accident. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
It's just that Vivian bought you something. She said you'd like them.
Sparklies. She got me sparklies.
Yeah.
Mrs. Freeman takes the bag from Alex and throws it onto the floor to make the music start. He opens the glass outer door and steps inside to watch her as she runs down the short hallway and picks one of the glowing balls up. While she's holding one and watching it flash, he sets the other toy going, a spinning ball of light on a handle, and it immediately gets her attention. She walks towards it with a childlike awe and takes it from him to work herself. Alex watches as she holds it up to her face, grinning.
Are you okay?
She turns to look at him.
Take off your outdoor shoes and put them in the row.
Alex shuts the inner front door and does as she's asked.
Don't move any of the others. Oh, I'm supposed to offer you something. Would you like an herbal tea? I have 17 varieties.
Yes, let me...
No! Don't come in my kitchen. That's off limits.
She goes into the kitchen and carefully puts the toy down.
I'm going to give you the licorice one. I can't stomach the licorice one. It tastes like cat pee.
He watches her from the hallway.
Are you alone here?
Yes.
Have anybody who could stay with you for a couple of days?
I have two parents. They're hiking in Algonquin. No one can get a signal.
Maybe the police could put you in touch with someone to talk to. Someone qualified.
About what?
About what's happened.
Okay.
I just came to explain. I don't handle this sort of thing well at all.
He undoes his jacket.
Oh, give me your clothes.
I'm sorry.
Take off your clothes. Give them to me. I'll give them back. I don't want the wet contaminating my carpet. Take off your clothes. I'm getting you dry ones.
She runs upstairs. Then Alex is wearing a pink jumper while she starts the machine.
By the way, that's my third favourite sweater, so you can't keep it.
He watches while she looks through the cupboards.
Don't look at me, I'm doing my checking. I check the kitchen every time I use it, and every time I don't use it.
That must take up a lot of time.
Yes, it does. That's Marilyn, Vivian's dog. That's
she takes a banana out of the fridge and drops it in a bowl.
So, did Vivian live here with you all the time?
Yes. Vivian came on a short stay 3 years ago and didn't leave. She lived with my parents until then. That's who she was visiting.
Why was she hitchhiking?
Vivian wanted to be a writer. She said she would always try and get a ride. With the most lonely-looking characters. Because they had the best stories.
Mrs. Freeman continues positioning things exactly right in the kitchen.
Mrs. Freeman, this is all a bit difficult for me. I came here to apologise because your daughter died. It was my car.
Did you do it on purpose?
Oh, of course not. We just stopped at the junction.
Sit down, then. And I'm not a missus. I'm Linda. I haven't got a problem with you. You must be all right because you gave Vivian a lift and you brought me my sparklies.
She picks up the handheld spinning ball again and starts playing with it. Alex takes a sip of his tea and almost chokes as he begins to cry. Linda goes to him, concerned.
Is there a problem with the tea?
No, it's not the tea.
Are you sad because someone you didn't know died?
This is guilt. Linda, I feel guilty, okay?
Right. Because you were driving.
Yes, because I was driving.
But he ran into you.
Yes, he ran into me.
Right.
Linda!
What is she doing here again? She's already been here once today. I'm not letting her in again.
Linda!
Go away, Florence. Nobody wants you here. Get lost.
Linda.
Whatever it is, I don't need it. Go away. Alex, tell her to go away. Tell her.
Alex goes to the front door.
Oh. Hello?
Hello?
I really think Linda needs someone to stay with her tonight.
No, I don't. You're stupid.
It's all right, Linda. I'm only here to help.
Whatever it is, I don't need it. Leave me alone.
I really don't think she wants to talk about it anymore tonight.
And you are?
Alex Hughes.
Goodbye, Florence. Well,
are you staying?
No, I...
Yes, he's staying. Alex Hughes is staying, and if you come back, I'm calling the police.
Okay, you have my number.
Linda, I can't stay.
Well, you'll have to give me my sweater back.
I should call a taxi. Well,
They won't pick up from this house. Not after last time.
Well, what about a bus?
It's too late.
Is there a hotel?
Yes.
Where is it?
It's 4 miles up the highway.
I should get my clothes.
They haven't finished their cycle. Do you want tea?
No.
Would you like to go out and play? I have a trampoline.
I'll just get my things.
I think you should stay until Tuesday.
I'm sorry.
They collect the garbage on Tuesday. I don't do garbage.
And I appreciate the offer, but I...
It was Vivian's job. I can't touch garbage, so you will have to take the bags out now. Do you want food?
Linda, I'm sorry, but I can't do this. I'll just get my clothes in, and then I have to leave.
Well, you can't... Don't go in my kitchen! Ah! I'll get your stupid clothes!
She throws them at him, still sopping wet, then walks out, leaving him holding them. Later, Alex is lying on the sofa, fidgeting under a thin blanket as he tries to get comfortable. He tosses and turns, gets his foot caught under the wooden arm, and eventually sits up, sighing deeply. Alex walks through the dark house, holding a thick grey cardigan around him. He stops at a closed door, but there's a keep out sign stuck to it, so he carries on his way. Further along, he opens another door and finds a bedroom with a bunk bed on the far wall. He cautiously goes inside and shuts the door quietly behind him, then makes his way to the bunk and lies down on the bottom one.
Oh.
Linda's above him.
Now what are you doing?
Fuck! Sorry, I didn't know this was your room.
Where are you going? Stay still.
I saw the bunk beds and I thought...
Vivian says I'm probably the only adult in the entire world who has a bunk bed. But I've tried other beds and I don't like them. I've slept in this bed since I was 3.
I'll find somewhere else to sleep.
No. Get back under here. I need to know where you are. I don't want you pounding around my house. Do you snore?
I don't know.
Well, lie down and go to sleep. I need my rest. And if you try and touch me, I'll shoot you. I have a gun.
Alex holds his hand up in a gesture of despair, while Linda lies on the top bunk shining the torch on the wall and waving her hand through its beam, then holding an ornamental snowflake in it.
Can you see the stars? The stars at night are shining bright deep in the heart of Wawa.
Linda, I hope you don't mind. I ate a cracker.
You what? You went in my kitchen?
Yes. I'm sorry, I was a bit hungry.
I don't care.
I cleaned up afterwards.
She hurries out, and Alex drops his head down on the pillow. Daytime, and snow still covers the ground. In the kitchen, Alex takes one of 4 crackers that have been neatly laid out on a tray. He picks up one of the many snow globes off the shelf, holds it upside down, and puts it back again. He starts to shake up all the others. He picks up one that has a photo of Vivian in it, tips it, and watches as the snow swirls around her face.
Hi, this is the Madhouse. Leave us a message and we'll probably get back to you. Please speak slowly and be precise.
Alex finds Linda lying in the snow.
Linda? The phone.
She moves but doesn't get up, so he walks towards her.
Linda? You all right?
I'm fine. If you get your mouth completely full of snow, it all dissolves, and you can drink it,
It's your... Aren't you cold?
I have an unusual body temperature control. It feels just right. Have you ever had an orgasm, Alex?
It has been known.
Vivian once described an orgasm to me. It sounds like an inferior version of what I feel when I have a mouthful of snow. You should try it.
She takes another mouthful and rolls onto her back again. Alice looks towards the end of the garden, where a woman in a white jacket is standing watching them. He goes over to her.
Hi. I heard about Vivian. I'm so sorry. I really liked her. Is she all right?
I don't know. What exactly is it?
Autism. But she's very verbal.
I had noticed.
Are you all right?
I don't know.
I'm Maggie. And everybody's been saying that it wasn't your fault.
Alex.
I know. It's a very small town. So has anyone been feeding that dog?
In a manner of speaking.
Well, if she needs anything, I'm right here. Not that she'll talk to me. Bye.
Alex. Alex, we have to make a snowman.
Do we?
Vivian came to visit me every year, and we always made a crazy creature snowman. We kept on doing it. We haven't made one this year.
Linda, there's a message on the machine from your parents.
Let's make a chipmunk. We've never made a chipmunk. I love chipmunks. From now on, every time I miss Vivian, I'm going to make a crazy creature snowman.
Linda starts to gather snow with her hands while Alex helps.
Oh, hi, folks. It's only Mom and Dad. We're just ringing to let you know we're fine.
Hello?
Yeah, your dad got an icicle embedded in his privates yesterday.
Don't ask.
But apart from that, we're A-okay. Now, we hope everything's fine with you and that Vivi got back all right. We'll ring you again when we can get to the next pit stop. We're miles away from anywhere.
Ellen, come on. It's just a message.
All right. Okay, now keep warm. Love you both. Bye. Bye.
You should really try to get hold of them. They'd want to be here.
I have to go identify Vivian's body today. And tomorrow is work, and Tuesday they collect the garbage.
Work?
I work part-time at the Value Mart. I stack shelves. Will you come with me?
To work? I don't think they'll be expecting you at work.
No, to see Vivian's body. Will you come with me? I have to work, or I won't get paid.
If you want me to... I have to go in to the police station anyway to pick up my stuff, and then I should be on my way.
I don't know why I have to go. Everyone knows it's her.
It's just procedure.
I've seen it on TV. They always let two people come in the room with them. So will you come in the room with me?
Yes. If you want me to.
She begins to peer quite intently at his face, moving from side to side, but always smiling.
Do people like you, Alex?
Not much, no.
I'm not surprised. It's because those glasses don't look right on your face. You have a long face, and those glasses make you look shifty.
Really?
Yes. You need some new frames.
I think it'll take more than that.
I know how you neurotypical people are obsessed with having friends. I'm only trying to help you get some.
Well, I appreciate your efforts, but in my experience, friends can be overrated.
She takes his glasses off and puts on another pair, which she got out of the drawer.
There. Now you look almost nice.
Linda nods happily to herself and walks out of the kitchen. Alex steps slowly out to a full-length mirror on the wall and looks at his reflection. His eyebrows raise momentarily in surprise at the new look. Then he becomes sad again. In the morgue, An officer lifts a white sheet off Vivian's head, revealing her face.
Mrs. Freeman, is this your daughter?
Miss Freeman.
Sorry, Miss Freeman. Miss Freeman, is this your daughter?
Linda looks around at the walls, then eventually down at the body. She wipes her forehead with the back of her hand.
Linda, is this Vivian?
She pokes Vivian's cheek with her fingers.
She looks different.
I'm sorry, Linda. I need a verbal identification. Is this Vivian Freeman?
Alex is standing in the corner, watching uncomfortably.
Yeah, yes, it is.
He and Linda are walking down a narrow corridor at the police station when she stops next to a leaflet holder on the wall and starts straightening all the pamphlets. Alex watches and waits.
Come on, let's get you home.
Don't talk to me now until I say so.
Okay.
They carry on to the end of the corridor, walking side by side. Then they're getting off a bus out of town. Linda steps casually onto the road, and when Alex tries to pull her back, she pushes him away. She crosses, half skipping, with her hands held up in the air at shoulder height. They walk the length of a high wood-panelled building. Then they go amongst and in between different houses, Linda playfully running her fingers along the buildings, Alex hurrying to keep up. On the street, they bump into a woman with curly brown hair.
Linda! Linda, oh, I was so sorry to hear about Marion.
Vivian.
Vivian? Vivian? Oh, she was such a personality.
Diane Wooten? Why I keep that name, I'll never know. Been divorced 2 years.
Alex Hughes.
Oh, now I know you're not a native. Not with that delectable accent.
No.
Linda, if there's anything I can do for you, anything at all.
Like what?
Well, like anything. Oh, it must be so awful losing a child like that.
I didn't lose her, she's dead.
Linda?
What?
It's perfectly all right. I know all about autism. I've seen that film.
Okay. Well, you take care of yourself, Linda. I'll be keeping my eye on you. Nice meeting you, Alex. Sure it won't be the last time.
At the house...
You've made up your mind about the funeral, Linda. You have to decide what to do. The service, the flowers, the people.
It's not a wedding.
No, but it takes a lot of sorting out. It's important to get it right.
Linda's carefully cutting out paper snowflakes.
If we have the funeral on Monday, would you stay until Tuesday?
To put the bins out.
The garbage cans, yes. I don't do garbage.
Okay, here's what I'll do. I'll stay and help organize the funeral.
And then you...
Yes, then I'll put the garbage out.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
Perfectamundo!
Then I have to go.
Linda runs up to her calendar board.
You better tell me about what you think Vivian would want.
I know what Vivian would want. She'd want to be alive.
Standing behind her, Alex rolls his head back and briefly shuts his eyes.
What was she pestering you about?
Who?
This morning. That Maggie from next door.
I think she just wanted to pay her respect.
She's a prostitute, Alex. I don't think she has much respect to give.
She leaves him open-mouthed. Then he's looking at drawings and paintings. One of a woman with eyes for breasts. Then reading from a scrapbook.
I remember when I noticed my eyebrows. But I know that's when it all started.
He's sitting on the bed in Vivian's room. A warmer, cluttered space compared to Linda's, with some natural sunlight. Looking through her scrapbook.
What is the moment worth?
Another drawing.
The past is only a memory. the future a fantasy. It's only in the present that we truly live.
Alex looks up thoughtfully and raises his eyebrows.
Okay, Vivian.
Now he's walking Marilyn in the street. Clyde comes out of Maggie's house as Alex arrives.
Hello, again.
Hello.
I just came around. It's a bit of a cliche, really, but to borrow some tea, normal tea.
And that would be to drink with the fruitcake.
She's not mad.
Oh, I know. Vivian explained it all to me. High functioning, can talk a glass eye to sleep, but can't tie her shoelaces.
Don't you like her?
She doesn't like me, for some reason. So did you really come around for tea?
Have you got any?
Clyde watches from across the street, and Maggie gives him a smile as she lets Alex in.
Assam, Darjeeling.
There is a god.
No, there is FedEx. An English friend of mine sends it over. Don't go inventing a deity to thank for the small miracles. They just happen.
So you're a non-believer?
I am. Makes me a bit of a novelty around here. Then again, so is Linda. It's a judgmental town, this. The emphasis being on the mental.
I assume you're new to the area.
Oh, no. No, I've lived here for 12 years. So how are you holding up?
I keep seeing her face. She was singing. She had all this energy, and I walked away without a scratch.
So are you planning on staying here for a while?
Apparently. Or? Till after the funeral.
That's very sweet of you. Listen, I don't know what kind of plans you have with my neighbor, but I'm free tonight, and, I don't know, I could cook something. We could have dinner, maybe.
Thank you.
Alex is sitting on the floor in Vivian's room, listening to music through headphones.
There's things I want. There's things I think I want. There's things I want.
Linda walks in and watches him, then looks away until he notices her and takes the headphones off.
What are you listening to?
Just trying to find something for Vivian. Stereophonics. They're not bad.
He hands her the CD case.
I prefer tinnitus.
Linda sits on the bed.
Linda, can I ask, if you don't like people, how do you manage with Vivian?
I don't like normal people. I like useful people. And people who like doing the things I like doing. Vivian was very helpful to me. We had a lot of fun.
I know how you must be feeling. I had a son.
You don't know how I'm feeling because you're not me.
Who died.
Nobody knows how I'm feeling because half the time I don't have a clue.
I know how that feels, too, when I found out about...
You want to go out and play on the trampoline?
No. No, thank you.
We could make a snowman.
Well, I was going to tell you about my son, but no, I think I'll just sit here if it's okay with you.
Alex looks down at the floor, and Linda waits, hunched over on the bed.
Did your son like the snow?
No. Nope, that was one of the few things he didn't like.
Oh. Did you know that no two snowflakes are alike? Wilson Bentley photographed 2,354 snowflakes. His best snowstorm was on his birthday on February 14th, 1928, when he was 63. He called it a gift from kind winter.
She stands up and goes to the door.
Is it okay if I take the dog out in a bit?
Don't let her pee on my snow.
Alex nods and holds up a finger. Then he's walking through the street at night with Marilyn and goes up the steps of Maggie's house to her front door.
Hi.
Hi.
Right on time.
I didn't know, I'm sure this isn't the norm, but, I brought you some tea bags. Ginseng and fennel.
I find the norm usually involves chocolate, or if I'm really lucky, perfume, but ginseng and fennel, wow. Come in. And the dog comes too.
So, Mr. Snowdrifter, what's your story?
Me? Oh, there's nothing much to say, really.
Oh, come on. You can tell by looking at your face that you have some interesting baggage.
I don't have baggage, I have haulage.
See, I told you. You just look so...
shifty?
Mm-mm. Sad. I hope you like shrimp cocktail. It's what I normally serve my gentlemen callers. I'm afraid it's not very original, but... I really hate to cook.
After Linda's specialized diet, believe me, I'd eat grit. Everything's gluten-free. She has leaky gut syndrome, as well as a ringing in her ears.
Wow.
So, what about you?
What, disease-wise?
No. You, generally.
Oh, me. I know, I like to keep an air of mystery about me. At least on the first date.
Linda's sitting on the bed in Vivian's room in a soft purplish red light, slowly rocking backwards and forwards. One hand rests on her leg and the other is on the bedspread, which she awkwardly strokes. Alex watches Maggie quite intently as she takes a sip of her wine.
So, how long are you planning on staying?
You are very beautiful. I'm leaving after the funeral.
I like you. I really like you. And I hate having sex on a full stomach, so should we just skip the main course and go next door? Oh, shit, I forgot about the English reserve thing. Okay. I'm sorry, I've embarrassed you. Let's just eat.
No, it's fine. If I'm honest, it's what I came round for.
Well, good, I'm glad we cleared that up.
Linda pulls on a pair of Vivian's red, knee-length platform boots, struggling to fit the second one. She taps her feet on the floor. Then lies back on the bed, smiling and shaking her hands in the air. Alex and Maggie are also in bed.
It's been a while. Sorry if it was a bit quick. I think the dog might have put me off.
It's okay. We have all night.
They're both lying on their backs, Maggie smiling, Alex more agitated.
So why are you going to Winnipeg?
You ask a lot of questions.
Do I?
I'm going to meet an old friend.
A friend, or
a friend friend.
I should go.
I won't mention her again, I promise. Why didn't you just fly straight there like a normal person?
Well, I thought I'd drive, take in some of the lakes. It didn't look far on the map.
She sits up and puts her arms around him.
Would you even consider driving from London to Moscow?
Well, actually, I was looking on a globe. The scale was a bit off.
She kisses his neck, and he shuts his eyes as she gently squeezes his shoulder.
I think you're ready to try again.
They fall backwards onto the bed. Then she's on top of him, and they kiss. Alex pulls her hair away from her face, and they look at each other tenderly. Then he rolls over on top of her, and they kiss again. Marilyn's up on the table, eating their leftover dinner. Later, Alex is out of bed and pulling on his trousers, while Maggie sleeps.
I should go. I haven't done this kind of thing before. I'm sorry. How much do I owe you?
What?
For last night, what do I...
You want to pay me?
Well, I thought... Oh, God, you're not, are you? It's just that Linda...
Okay, yeah, I have a few male callers now and again, and yes... I like sex, but no, I am not a hooker.
Oh, shit, I feel dreadful.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay.
I have to say I'm more than relieved.
What, you're not a big fan of Ladies of the Night?
I don't think I have enough money to see you as much as I want to.
Linda's silver snowflakes hang off a tree, reflecting sunlight. She walks through the house while Alex works at a laptop.
Linda, I booked the cars for 12 o'clock. Is that all right?
I'm going to work.
What do you think? Okay. What's the matter, Linda?
Oh, no.
What is it?
It's on the rug. It's disgusting.
Well, it's okay, Linda. Just come.
It's dog throw up from inside the dog's stomach. It's going to make an unbelievably bad
Linda,
pain.
It's okay.
It's not okay. It's not okay. I can't do this. I can't do this. I need Vivian. I need Vivian.
Well, I'll sort it.
Please, please don't let it leave a stain. If it leaves a stain, I have to move.
Linda, I said I'll sort it.
Please don't let it leave. And don't go in my kitchen!
Alex is cleaning the carpet with a rag and a bucket of water. He finishes and stands up, then stops to listen. He takes the stuff out of the sitting room and steps carefully into the kitchen with it. He quickly pours the rest of the water down the sink, then struggles to find a place to put the bucket. He leaves it on the side and wipes the sink out with the rag. He wipes the bucket and the place where the bucket stood, then he mops the water off the floor moving a mat which is used to stand on whilst at the sink, and which he hastily puts back in place. The dog watches him from behind its glass door, and Alex points at it accusingly. Linda's at the supermarket, sitting on the floor in her green employee's bib, stacking a shelf. As she puts each bottle of cleaning fluid down, she makes sure they're perfectly in line. Alex is walking Marilyn when he bumps into Diane. Clyde drives past and sees them talking. Then Alex is at the vet's.
What's she been eating?
Don't know. Linda gives her bananas.
Bananas? She's not a monkey.
I don't know much about dogs.
You know about dog vomit, right?
Yeah.
Keep her off the bananas. I've heard you can get this stuff in cans. Dog food. Controversial, I know.
Yeah.
Clyde's standing in Maggie's living room while she sits on the sofa.
Actually, this isn't a social call today.
Really?
I just came to warn you about Alex Hughes. Several little birds have told me you and he are getting social.
I don't think that's any of your business, Clyde, or anyone else's. Honestly, this town is getting so that you can't cough without someone alerting the authorities.
Yeah, I looked him up on our system. He killed someone. Did you know?
No. He was driving the car, but it wasn't his fault.
I'm not talking about Vivian. He killed a guy. He just got out.
She looks shocked.
I didn't know that.
Thought you should.
Now I do.
And to top it all, he hit a cop. Just ask yourself this, Maggie. Is that normal? Hey, picking up young girls? Staying with a mentally challenged lady, killing people? Hitting cops?
Maggie looks down at the floor non-committally.
Well.
She picks up a magazine. And he heads for the door.
I have a spare ticket for Magician up at the Legion on Wednesday, if you're interested.
What's he gonna do, Clyde? Make you disappear?
Clyde smiles and leaves. Linda and Alex are playing a board game.
B-A-A-N-G.
You can't have two A's in bang.
In comic book word Scrabble, you can. You can have three A's if you want, with a double letter score that makes 22 points.
This game is ridiculous.
It isn't. It isn't, because you get to say words like Kerrang and Boing and Cowabunga and Buttocks.
What comic book did that come out of?
Oh, I don't know. I just like saying Buttocks. Buttocks. Okay, what's your word?
I can make it up, right?
Yes, that's the best bit.
Okay. Y-A-A-M... O-O-L. That's four. And that's 24 points.
Yamul. Yamul, I like that. Yamul. Okay, now you have to give an example of it in a sentence. Like I said, if you make up a word, you have to give an example.
Right. Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
What's wrong with Spider-Man?
Well, it's a bit obvious.
Spider-Man is about to save the universe from an evil thing, and so he hits him with a jet of web, Yamul, and it stops him, it, in its tracks.
You are terrible at this game.
I've got two more points than you.
Linda places some game tiles down.
D-A-Z. L-I-O-U-S.
Dazzleus.
I'm assuming that's a made-up word.
It is. It's also 38 points for the word and another 50 for using up all my letters. That makes 88 points.
And your example?
She takes off her glasses and thinks.
Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four. He's got arms made of elastic so they can stretch for 200, maybe 300 miles. He's been imprisoned in a cave for 7 days with no food and no water and no light. And on the 8th day, he manages to loosen a rock and push his way up through the top.
With his stretchy arms.
And up into the daylight, just as the sun is coming up over the mountains and filling the sky with this white yellow light. And there's a stillness. And in the few minutes he's got before his captor, the evil Dr. Doom, returns, he stops for 1 second. And all he can hear is his own breathing. And he's totally overwhelmed by how big the world is and how small and unimportant he is. And as he turns around, we see his face look to the sky. And he says very quietly, so that no one can hear him, he says, Dazzleus.
She looks at Alex and waits for his reaction.
Time to make some tea. I can see if I'm going to have any chance of winning this game, I'm going to really need to focus.
He gets up.
You know where to find me.
He makes tea in a section of the kitchen that's been marked with a sign which reads, Alex's area. Now he's with Maggie by a lake.
You know, I've had a bit of a shady past.
Oh, really?
I was married for 15 years.
Arrest this woman now.
He was a very nice man. But I had affairs. I like the candies and the flowers, the tea bags. I'm just not good at the day-to-day stuff, you know. I'm a selfish woman. And I broke his heart. Made a real mess of it, actually.
So someone said you could drink this water.
Yeah, it's supposed to have healing properties. Why don't you take a sip?
No, I don't think so.
What, you don't want to be healed? Set free of your demons?
They keep me company. I think we should be getting Marilyn back.
You know, Alex, I think maybe your dog's been getting a little too much exercise lately. Perhaps you could try walking it at home in the privacy of your own bathroom.
What exactly is it that you want to know?
Everything.
Alex hands Maggie photos of the young man.
That's Ryan, my son.
What, you said you didn't have any kids.
I got a letter from Ryan. His mum had finally allowed him to see his birth certificate, and I was on it under father.
And are you his real dad?
Yes. His mum's name's Rebecca. She's the woman that I'm going to see in Winnipeg. We had a short fling. I suppose she thought that I was never that serious, so she... It's 22 years ago.
What did he say to you?
He wrote me a list of all the things he liked and all the things he hated.
I mean, when you saw him.
We arranged to meet in a restaurant. I sat in the restaurant until closing time, and he never showed up. He was in an accident on the way to meet me. Got hit by a drunk driver, and he died instantly.
Oh, my God. That is terrible.
I never even met him. All I lost, really, was a fantasy.
Oh, my God.
A fucking fantasy. I spent the last 4 years grieving over someone I never knew, and I'm doing it all over again with Vivian.
The sun's setting as Maggie stares at Alex with sympathetic eyes. She puts her arms around him and hugs him close.
Good morning. I'm Martin Scott, and I'm here every morning, all morning with you, and stop all night.
It's a new day as Alex enters a local general store. Inside, he selects a pair of sunglasses from a display rack and tries them on, looking at himself in a mirror.
No, not those two. Those are serial killer.
A scruffily dressed young assistant walks over and watches as Alex tries on a second pair.
Getting warmer. Oh, you know what, though? Yeah, I think these are the guys for you. Oh, yeah. Am I good or what?
Actually, I think I'll just stick to my old ones. I was just browsing, really.
Eyebrowsing. Right?
Thanks for your time.
It's cool. Love the accent, by the way.
Thank you.
Returning to the house, Alex sees that John Neal, the truck driver, is standing by the front door, holding a bunch of flowers.
I came to talk to Linda. She won't open the door. I want to say sorry.
So did I, and I'm still here. Mind you, I wasn't the one ramming a 40-ton truck into her daughter.
Look, man. I'm not a killer. That was an accident. I lost my job.
My heart bleeds.
What, haven't you ever made a fucking mistake?
I mean, you should go.
I can't go. Not until I...
Until you've what? You lost your daughter. She lost her fucking daughter. And not just any daughter. One who would have helped her to make some sense of all this shit.
John looks down at the ground.
You bought flowers, you thick bastard.
He drops the flowers.
Come on, then.
Just get out of here.
Look, come on, then. Let me have it. Let me have it! Come on! Come on!
Just don't push me.
What's the matter? You can't finish the job? Come on! Don't you know you can't hurt me? Don't you know I'm fucking indestructible?
Struggling to control powerful emotions, Alex places a hand on John's chest before turning and rushing away. Peering through a lace curtain, Linda sees John breaking down. Alex is running along a street, his face full of anguish. He runs until he's nearly at the edge of a lake on the outskirts of the town. He stops and looks out across the waters, trying to get his breath back. Back at the house, he finds Linda trampolining in the back garden. He walks to the side of the trampoline and looks up at her as she bounces up and down.
What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? I'm trampolining.
Linda. Could you stop bouncing for a minute? I want to tell you about what happened with my son. I went to prison. I went to prison because...
I want you to bounce me up.
Not now, Linda.
Is it because you had a fight with a truck driver?
Yes.
I won't see Vivian again. You won't see Vivian again. And he won't see Vivian again. We all have to get over it. Okay. Now, bounce me up. I'm not moving until you play with me. I'm going to stay out here all night long. Please. Please, Alex, please, please, please bounce me.
Promise to let everyone come back tomorrow after the funeral.
Yippee! Yes! Bounce!
With Linda lying on her back on the trampoline, Alex climbs onto it and begins a gentle bouncing. The motion makes Linda bounce too, and he looks down, straight-faced at her joyful laughter. Maggie's watching from a next-door window, and she smiles. Now Maggie's wearing a dressing gown as she joins Alex in her candle-lit living room. He's kneeling at a coffee table, writing.
You worried about tomorrow?
I think it's done. I'm worried about Linda.
Must be weird not wanting to be with other people. Not needing anyone to, you know, plug into.
Don't you get worrying about her on that account. She's got quite enough going on inside that head of hers.
But she needs other people to do things for her, if not necessarily with her. Vivian did all the boring stuff. What's she gonna do now?
You offering?
Wouldn't get past the door.
He leans over, kisses her, then gazes at her for a moment.
I'm beginning to like this.
What's that?
Being with you. Being with Linda. Being with myself. Again. Hey, and I'm having sex and these muffins are great, that sort of thing.
You be careful, Mr. Shifty.
She smiles at him, then gives him a kiss. A glittering, coin-like object has been set spinning on its edge on a circular mirror laid on a table. The disc's rotation gradually runs out of energy.
Also wanted to bring a little something else I had done.
Oh, that's very kind.
Is she in?
Oh, yes. Linda. Linda.
I like your robe.
Diane's brought you something.
Diane opens a box to reveal a large cookie marked with the words, "With sympathy."
What is it?
It's a bereavement cookie.
I can't eat that.
Oh?
She's gluten-free.
Oh. Right. Well, waste not, what not, I'll take it back. It's my nephew's 5th birthday tomorrow, so I'll scrape the icing off. Put some new numbers on. Nice new number 5.
I'll scrape it.
Linda takes the cookie through the house and, using a dustpan, scrapes the icing into Marilyn's dog bowl. Looking pleased with herself, she then returns the cookie to the appalled-looking Diane.
There.
Diane closes the box.
Well, I'll see you both in church later.
Alex holds the box for Diane as she puts her boots back on. He gives it back to her as she's going out of the door.
Thanks, Diane.
Bye.
Once Diane's gone, Alex closes the door and gives in to laughter. Linda seems amused by his amusement.
You know, despite both our faults, Linda, I actually think we work quite well together, don't you?
Yes, I do. Can you please take the dog out now? I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Shall I come back in about half an hour?
I don't know how I'll feel in half an hour. I only know how I feel now.
Her attention is already elsewhere as Alex creeps up the stairs. He's just left the house with Marilyn when he sees a woman weeping into the arms of a man in a car parked nearby. The man spots Alex and gets out of the car.
Hello, you must be Alex. I'm Dirk. And this is Ellen.
How do you do? I'm sorry, I told myself I wasn't going to cry. Every time we go away, it's always Linda we're worried about, isn't it, Dirk? We never even gave Vivian a second thought. We never...
Ellen's a bit upset. We've been hiking. We came straight here.
Yeah.
Is Linda inside?
I'm half inside, half outside.
Dirk follows Ellen along the path to meet Linda.
Hi, sweetie. We've just been meeting Alex, Linda.
Your eyes are red.
Yes, they are.
Linda places her cheek against Ellen's.
Mommy cheek.
Yeah, that's my girl.
I'll let you have some time.
Yes. Thank you, Alex.
As Alex heads off with the dog, the Freemans go inside with Linda. Alex looks lost in thought as he sits on a bench next to a huge sculpture of a goose. He closes his eyes. Next, he's in a public call box, making a phone call. He ends the call before anyone can answer. Back at the house, Alex goes into Linda's bedroom to show her the tie he's wearing.
I thought Vivian would appreciate something a bit unconventional.
Perfecto mundo. Is it compulsory to cry at funerals?
No, it's not compulsory.
Good, because I don't know if I will or not.
She throws the paper snowflakes she's cut out into the air.
Wilson Bentley, the man who photographed snowflakes, died after walking in a snowstorm.
He watches her pick them up.
Is there anything you need?
Yes.
She steps closer to him.
I'd like you to put your arms around me and squeeze me really hard, but don't touch me with your hands.
Slowly, he moves closer to her and does as she asks. Held tight by his arms, Linda closes her eyes.
Say when.
Her eyes remain closed as she smiles with contentment. In a church, an organist is playing to the mourners who've gathered for Vivian's funeral service. The pews are almost full as Alex enters from the back of the moderately sized building. He takes a seat next to Maggie. Linda's not far behind, walking up the aisle with Dirk and Ellen. An unusual lamp on top of Vivian's coffin catches Linda's attention. It's bristling with hundreds of fibre optic threads, and she gazes at them, fascinated.
Linda, will you sit down?
As they go to take their seats near the front, some of the mourners turn to see a newcomer who's just entered at the back. It's John. Looking shocked, Alex stands and walks towards him. The two men stand facing each other for a moment. Then Alex offers John his hand. John shakes it and nods at Alex. Alex returns to his seat. John removes his jacket and sits down in the nearest pew. Dirk.
For those who don't know, I'm Vivian's granddad. But as our daughter Linda was unable to look after her, my wife Ellen and I raised Vivian as our own for 16 years. Vivian was a real one-off and the most gentle and generous person I've ever met. She had an amazing ability accepting people for what they are, embracing their differences. Most of you are probably aware that Vivian wanted to be a writer. On her last visit to us only a week or so ago, she gave me a children's picture book that she was working on. I'd like to read it to you because it says more about Vivian than anything I could put into words. My little brother James is special. My little brother is 4 and he can't talk yet. He doesn't always understand what I say to him, and he's not a bit interested in my wrestling toys. Dad plays chasing games with him and tries to get him interested in rockets and football. But my little brother really only likes the alphabet. He's very happy when we have alphabet spaghetti for lunch. But then so am I. Yesterday he took my hands and danced with me. Every time he does something new, however small, it's a brilliant feeling. I wish everyone could get to know someone like my little brother. He makes you look at things in a brand new way. Some people say that James won't ever do the things I do, but it doesn't matter. He'll just do different things. I love my little brother so much, and one day I know he'll tell me he loves me too. Although he'll probably spell it out in spaghetti first.
Dirk steps down, and a priest takes his place.
Thank you, Dirk. Please stand while we take a moment to listen to one of Vivian's favorite records by the Super Furry Animals.
Hello, sunshine. Coming to
as the mourners stand listening to the music, the lamp on Vivian's coffin rotates slowly and changes colour. Lingering on a framed photograph of a smiling Vivian sitting next to Marilyn. Photographs hanging on the wall of Linda's living room. On one side of the room, a sign reading, "Keep Out," has been stretched across the doorway. Linda's peering fearfully through the bars of a wooden partition into the living room itself, where the funeral party have gathered for the reception. She seems quite agitated by all the eating, drinking and talking, and looks particularly upset when she sees someone drop some food on the carpet.
Oh, hi. Thank you so much. Please take your shoes off before entering.
Anything for you? No?
is that man still here?
Oh, Linda, hand these around.
All these people doing social in my house.
It's okay, then.
It's not okay. It's horrible. When are they going to go?
Well, they'll have a sandwich and then they'll go.
Linda looks at the plate of sandwiches Alex has given her, then puts it straight into a bin. Maggie joins Clyde.
So what do you see in him, Maggie?
You know, Clyde, you have a superior air about you. Whoever told you you were so special?
Whoever told you you weren't?
Maggie walks off.
Surprisingly clean, eh?
That's the thing about autism, they're neat freaks.
Yeah? You should take notes, you could learn something.
Why do you have to do that?
What?
Why do you have to be like
that? It's a joke.
Try one of these, they're gluten-free.
Maggie to Linda.
You know, Alex is very fond of you. He talks about you all the time. Maybe when he's gone, I could come over and...
Why would I want you to come over? If they've had their sandwiches, why are they hanging around?
Thank you so much for coming.
No, really, it's just you.
Very nice of you.
Thank you. It's the coffin.
Linda sees Clyde sit down on an armchair. To her horror, he reaches beneath him and picks up one of her stuffed toys that was on the seat. Unable to bear it, she rushes off. Later, a solemn-looking Dirk standing at a bedroom window. He's watching Linda, who's sitting on the snow outside, not far from the house. She seems preoccupied with one of her paper snowflakes. Alex enters.
Funny place, this. Never felt at home here. But Linda always liked it. We bought it for her because she wanted to be independent. Especially after Vivian was born.
Alex closes the door behind him.
How did that happen?
We still don't know. She was very close. Well, relatively close to a boy who went to the center. We all assumed it was an experiment. She didn't seem remotely upset at first. But she might have been forced. We asked and we asked. Anyhow, she was 6 months gone before anyone noticed. It's like everything with Linda. You have to accept her totally. And somehow Vivian understood that from very early on. Oh, she would have loved the service. And this, too, she loved a party. You know, I don't think there's ever been more than 5 people in this house. I don't know how you persuaded her. But anyway, I just wanted to say thanks for staying. You didn't have to.
Actually, to be honest, the elements were against me. I didn't really have an alternative.
There's always an alternative, Alex.
This house is getting nasty, nasty, nasty!
Linda presses a button on a music player. Many of the guests begin to go. Maggie wanders into the living room, her arms folded, as Linda begins to dance. Ellen smiles indulgently, but then sees another guest approach Linda and try to speak to her. Linda quickly becomes upset. The guest turns the music off.
She's fine.
But it's the way Gravity.
She's fine. Just let her dance. Please.
Linda smiles happily as she jumps around the room. The rest of the funeral party look on, and most are unfazed by her dancing. But Diane looks uncomfortable and picks up her jacket to go. Alex is amongst those watching as Linda, grinning broadly, dances herself into a rapture. She imagines she's in a snowbound forest, dancing with a happy-looking Vivian. Paper snowflakes are falling gently as mother and daughter bounce up and down, waving their arms. Linda laughs with delight as she copies Vivian's wild and funny moves. They stop dancing and stand facing each other, smiling. Vivian's eyes are full of warmth as she continues to gaze at Linda. Finally, she nods her head extravagantly, and Linda begins to beam happily once more. Linda returns from her reverie to find her living room empty. She looks around, breathing heavily, her face still lit up with magical jubilance. Linda's cleaning up her living room. She wipes down surfaces and ornaments, then dries off her stuffed toy with a hairdryer. Alex is sitting in a car with Marilyn in the passenger seat next to him when Clyde approaches.
It's like getting back on your bike. You'll be fine.
There's no point in worrying it'll happen again. Nothing you can do. If it's coming, it's coming.
Thank you, Clyde. That's very reassuring.
Can't say I'm sad to see you go.
Don't tell me, Maggie.
Yep.
Do you think she'll ever...
No. Drive safely, then.
Alex starts the engine. Back at the house, Linda's vacuuming frantically when Alex returns.
Hi.
Never having that many people in my house ever again.
Where are your parents?
I told them to go. I had to clean the house. They'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, right. I'd like to say goodbye. I'm going to take Marilyn for a walk.
But don't forget about the...
garbage and her proper...
Maggie.
Hi.
We just come to say goodbye.
We?
They told you keep an eye on her. She'll be dead in a week otherwise.
Who, Linda or the dog?
She didn't take long to settle in. Maybe I should do the same. Saw this house in the real estate window in town. It's by the lake. Kind of tempting.
He glances at Maggie, who looks a little uncomfortable.
Stupid idea.
I told you I was selfish.
You did.
Alex is leaving.
I hope you find what you're looking for in Winnipeg.
Wonder what that is. Good luck to me.
They embrace each other warmly.
Maggie, I killed a man. The driver who ran into my son. I found out his name, where he lived. I went there and I hit him. Hard. He fell. He fell onto this stone floor. Cracked his head open.
I know. Clyde told me.
Why didn't you?
I was waiting for you to mention it. I'm glad you did. You know, mostly he's upset that you hit a cop.
Thanks.
I think you're gonna find peace when you get there.
you'll probably end up staying. But if you're ever passing through here again, I've had a really nice time.
Gotta do the garbage, gotta do the garbage, 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 gotta do the garbage, gotta do the garbage.
We're already 2 hours late. Maybe they're not coming today. What if we do what everybody on the street does, what everybody else in the world does, and put the bags out? And if they don't turn up today, you can just leave them out until they do.
No, we're not going to do that. The bags will split, and that's when raccoons come. Raccoons have rabies, and they mess up the snow.
Well, I'm sorry, Linda. I just don't know what else I can do. I've got to get going. I've already made arrangements.
You are a very selfish man.
No, I'm not. You're just unreasonable.
I'm autistic.
That's the same thing.
Apart from today, you have been very helpful, Alex, and I want to say thank you. You're not as interesting as Vivian was, but you have some quite good characteristics.
Don't go overboard with the praise there, Linda.
Presently, Linda's looking out of the window as Alex leans against a wall by the front door.
So, Linda, I'm really going to have to go very soon.
Clutching two of her paper snowflakes, she steps closer to him.
You have been very annoying. But you've also been a friend. I'm going to miss you.
He smiles weakly.
It'd be so hard to say goodbye. It's been a real pleasure. You are the only person I have ever met who I didn't have to explain or even justify myself to.
Perfecto mondo.
Sorry about the trash.
Linda unlocks the front door.
Can I send you a postcard?
What for?
Okay, I'll give you a ring then. I got your number.
When will you ring me?
Do you know, I think Vivian would have liked our story.
Well, she's not here to see it, is she?
Right then. I'm so sorry about your daughter.
Linda stares at him, then bows her head.
I'm off. I left something for you. It's in the freezer.
Once Alex has gone, Linda locks the door again. Outside, Alex walks to his car and puts his bag into it. Linda adjusts the doormat, then lines up some of her ornaments. Meanwhile, Alex is driving away. All the items in Alex's area disappear as Linda tidies them away. Soon, with her house just the way she wants it, she's sitting on the sofa when she remembers about the freezer. She opens the door and removes Alex's gift.
Snow cake. Now that is interesting.
The carefully constructed cake has been made from compacted snow. Linda uses a cake slice to cut herself a piece and takes a bite. Clearly relishing it, she eats some more. Outside, the refuse truck has arrived, and Linda hears its engine.
Oh, no.
She's startled by the sound of her back door opening, then watches with her mouth open as Maggie strides into view. She's carrying Linda's bin bags, and she takes them out through the front door. Maggie throws them into the back of the truck. She turns and gives a small wave to Linda, who stands in the open doorway, Then Maggie walks back to her own house. Linda sees the gesture, but doesn't acknowledge it. Still munching on the snow cake, she closes the door. Alex stops his car by the statue of the goose.
He's totally overwhelmed by how big the world is, how small and unimportant it is. And as he turns around, we see his face look to the sky, and he says very quietly, so that no one can hear him, "Teslas."
Hello, sunshine.
Alex smiles at the dying rays of the sun as they cast the goose in silhouette. Then he drives on.
Hello, sunshine.
The road follows the edge of a lake at the foot of a large hill, covered with autumnal woodland.